powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You know, when my kids were little, I would often tell them when they were afraid to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But you know what? My kids are grown. And when they're afraid, I still tell them to call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Because when we speak that name, it changes the atmosphere of what we're living in. It changes things for us. It opens that door for us to feel His presence. And it opens that door also to release those things that are coming against us, that's causing the anxiety, that's causing the stress, that's causing the fear. And thank God, with Jesus, we need not to have those things. We can call on His name. There's so many names and titles of Jesus. You know, we've studied Him here in our church in the years past. We've studied His characteristics, His personalities. But listen to a few of the names. Listen to this and let it soak into your spirit. Call on these names. Almighty One, Alpha and Omega, my favorite, the beginning and the end, my Advocate, Author and Protector, Perfecter of our faith, my Authority, the Bread of Life, Beloved Son of God, the Bridegroom, the Chief Cornerstone, the Deliverer, the Faithful and True, the Good Shepherd, the Great High Priest, the Head of the Church, the Holy Servant, the I Am, Emmanuel, Indescribable Gift, Judge, King of Kings, Lamb of God, Light of the World, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Lord of all, Mediator, Messiah, Mighty One. Thank you, Lord, one who sets me free, our hope, our peace, our prophet, our Redeemer, the risen Lord, my Rock, my Sacrifice for Sins, my Savior, the Son of Man, the Son of the Most High, the Supreme Creator over all, the Resurrection and the Life. Thank you, Lord. The Door, the Way, the Word, the Truth, the Victorious One, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Priests. Come on, somebody. Don't you hear it? Don't you feel it? He is the I Am. He is the One who can wipe away our sins, who gives us eternal life, who is the Resurrection and the Life. Come on. We feel it in our spirit. Sing it again. Sing it again. Until you call on Him, just like your own Father. you don't ask your daddy for some money, you're not going to get any. If you don't ask your daddy if you can go on a date, you don't go. If you don't ask your daddy if you can use the car, you don't use the car. It's the same thing. Our Heavenly Father desires for us to seek Him and to ask Him for our needs. If we don't call on Him, we don't get anything. If you don't access Him, you get nothing. So if you're receiving nothing, whose fault is it? Your own. Because the Father is there. Jesus is there waiting to hear from you, waiting to hear your cry, waiting for you to outstretch your hand and say, I need you. I need you. Don't allow the devil to steal that access. You get into the habit of calling on the Lord's name, Jesus, when things happen. The first thing that comes out of your mouth should be Jesus. Not, oh no, and not any of those bad things. Jesus, the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you slam on brakes and you're almost in an accident, when you fall, when you get a call that your parents are not doing well, the first thing that should come out of your mouth is Jesus, in a prayerful mode, saying, Jesus, I'm going to need you for this. Jesus, I need you to be the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. I need you to be the righteous one. I need you to be the truth, because He is. And when we call on those things, He can allow us to feel that. He can allow us to be strengthened by the Word of God. He can allow, and He can do things in our behalf. But we must access Him. We must. Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, that You are Jesus. That You've given us so much through Your Son that died a terrible death on that cross so that we could have life, eternal life. Lord, that the resurrection and Your life is what gives us hope for our future. Father, we thank You that You have taken us through this week. And we thank You, Lord, for just allowing us to come in Your presence together, calling on Your name and realizing You are the great I Am. Father, we come to You, and Lord, there's so many needs present in this church. We ask, Lord, that You would just extend Your hand, providing miracles, provisions, and, Lord, healings. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We give You praise. We give You honor. And, Lord, we call on Your name, Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Praise You, Father. We give You praise. We thank You for coming together today. And if you're a first-time visitor with us, we ask that you go out in the foyer before you leave. Grab a gift out there. We have a wonderful coffee mug that drinks really good for you. And we'd love to get a little information and just connect with you before you leave today. At this time, we're just going to have our worship to continue through giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Together today and pray for the Hurl family that have lost their son to just a senseless act of gun violence. He was a young man that had a bright future. Today we're singing the song Speak the Name because we're learning that now in this world that we live in, regardless of what this world has to offer, we have to speak the name of Jesus. Thank
atmosphere is changed. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame. Healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Raise it up, feel the sky. Chains will fall.
Speak worship unto him today. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, speak his name today. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The Holy Spirit would remind us today about that name that is above every name. What a beautiful name it is. And now speak the name. I think it's a powerful thing when you and I begin to understand his name. If you know he's Jehovah Jireh, then Lord, thank you for your provision. You learn to pray. Learn to pray as you pray to the Father. Just, you know, I think he loves the reality that we have become aware that he is provider. So just say, Lord, I thank you for your provision. I thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Just a simple prayer. Lord, I thank you that you're my healer, Jehovah Rapha. And I receive healing into my body right now in Jesus' name. Just begin to thank him. Doesn't it make you feel good as a parent when you make provision for your kids, when you're able to release blessing to them? Amen? Makes you feel good. How do you think it makes the Father feel when his family's calling on him and recognizing that he is the source? Hallelujah. We do speak the name of Jesus over LaShawn's family. I'm understanding that he was a young man that availed himself to the ministry here and helped our young girls in preparation for fine arts. This is a wicked world we live in. It is a wicked world. And God's call upon us is to love people. We're going to talk about that today. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to say to us today. I love this. And I know I say this a lot. You say, Pastor, you say that a lot. This is one of my favorite stories. It is, okay? It's one of my favorite stories. But we're going to learn from it today, and we're going to make application to it. I'm just pausing here because I don't want to miss the Holy Spirit. Just allow him just to minister. I believe that he's settling in the spirit of some of you today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for those that are watching online. Hit a comment below. Just comment in the box. Make your statement in the box. We appreciate you tuning in. I can't tell you the number of people that I've had to just reach out this week and say, I'm excited about coming back. I see faces today that haven't been here since last year. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Praise God. We have to adjust. We have to make adjustments in our life. I know you've heard this over and over and over. The bar has been raised for normal. There's a new normal now, and it's very different. The world that you live in today is different from the one that you've been accustomed to. But one thing remains the same, okay? He's a constant. The Lord is a constant. The Lord is a constant. Can I just thank you guys, man? Every week you guys just lead us to the Father. And I just want to thank you for, come on, you appreciate these guys? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, vocalists. My goodness, you girls sing and lead us to the presence of the Lord. What a beautiful thing to be able to play an instrument and to sing a song. I like you, Andy. I like you. I like to watch you play and sing. Love people's passion, don't you? I'm going to mention that this morning. So make sure that you understand that God has already deposited into your spirit this morning that he wants you to access his name. Amen. It's like walking around with gift cards in your pocket that you never access. I've made that mistake before. Access the Father. Hallelujah. Lord, we just come to you today with expectancy in our spirit. I thank you for these people who've gathered today. I thank you for that congregation online that continues to grow. I thank you for the nations. They're on this morning. I just looked, Father. They're on from Pakistan. They're on from India. People that are gathering in all over the world at different hours. For some, it's late night, and they're watching us live right now. And so we just rejoice, Lord, that you've given us a larger platform than we could have imagined. And we bless the nations today. We bless the nations. We bless the nations today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Oh, come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Love him. Love them. I want to speak to you today with I know I say this a lot. You say, Pastor always says that, simple message. How many of you heard me say it? Well, I just got a simple message for you this morning. I really do. It's not complicated. I'm learning to be a preacher. Amen. I've been at it for 40 years, and I'm still learning, Elaine. I'm still learning. And God is teaching me. And I just love the fact that I just don't know it all. Amen? I love the fact that I don't know it all, and I'm dependent upon him. And I'm trusting him to accomplish what he desires to accomplish in this hour. I hope you're excited about the word today. And let's believe God for just a transfer from the Holy Spirit to us of what he wants to say to us. Luke chapter 10. The verses are 25 to 37. I feel a peace in the house today. Do y'all feel a peace in the house? I just feel a peace. Like the Holy Spirit just wants to love on you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 10. Luke wrote two books of the Bible in the New Testament. What are they? Luke and what? Acts, the book of Acts. Man, I love it when people know. Luke and Acts. And he's given a wonderful story here that always inspires me. And I'm going to try to transfer meaning from that to you today as the Spirit enables. Let's look at it together. Luke chapter 10. Don't make it the only passage that you read today or tomorrow. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered. Have you ever got into conversation with that guy who just don't want to say it like it's supposed to be said? He just wants to question you. You know? He answered, well, you want to get to the facts. Jesus says this. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. There's a quadrant of factors that Jesus has laid out here. Four things. He lists the heart, the soul, your strength, and your mind. And we're going to talk about those. And then he says, he puts a tag on the end that is quite simple, but it's loaded with truth. And that's going to be the heart of where we're going today. He says, then I want you to love your neighbor like you love yourself. Amen? Love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, well, you've answered correctly. He says, you do this and you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, you know, just why don't you just be quiet, okay? Jesus was probably thinking, take that and just go with it. But this is what he says. I want to know who my neighbor is, because here's the guy, a cheapskate. He don't want to love any more than he has to. Come on. Come on. I think about it this morning. I was reading this morning again. I thought, man, what a jerk. He don't want to love any more than he has to. Okay? I just want to love enough to get in. Come on. I just want to, how much is the chicken plates, you say? They're $8 going to the fire department. You know what most people give? $8. Why don't you give them 20? It's a fundraiser. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? But human nature is to get by with the least investment. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit already just working this thing. Just to get by with the least investment. You know, there's many times, I'm not saying this to boast or brag, I'm just saying it because it's fact. I did it last Sunday. I went out to eat last Sunday, somebody paid for my meal, and my tip was huge. Why? Because I didn't buy no meal. So I said, okay, Lord. And then, you know, just in case I didn't, Pastor Joy looks at me and she said, did you tip her well? And I said, yes. Okay. You know me by now. We're going on a 40-year celebration this year. You know me. I took care of her. And she never said how much. She just trusted that I took care of her. But don't, listen, you know what a lot of people would have said? Man, God is blessing me. I didn't even have to pay for my meal. I'm assuming they tipped her. What? What? No, 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 don't assume anything. And he says, listen, you do this and you'll live. He wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving the man, what? Half dead. A priest, Pastor Wallace, Carpenter Shop Church, comes down the road. When he saw the man, he crossed to the other side saying, you know what? I ain't getting in this. Don't have time for this. So too, a Levite, he's the associate pastor, okay? He comes to the place and he sees him and he passes by on the other side. Well, if pastor didn't get in it, I ain't getting in it either. Okay? But a Samaritan, verse 33, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, and he gave them to the innkeeper. And he says this to him simply, look after him. And he said, when I come back into town, when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expenses that you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Jesus is doing the questioning this time. And the expert in the law says this. He says, I think he probably said it like this. The one who had mercy on him? You ever seen people on game shows like Pastor Joy and I like to watch the two that come on at night? Come on, 7 o'clock, 7:30. Come on. What? That's right. Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. Okay. Chicken settling down by then, all that stuff. So the letter F, yes, there is an F. Ah, okay, there's relief. So here's the relief for the guy. He says, the expert in the law replies, the one who had mercy on him, Jesus told him, go and do likewise. I love this story. In fact, Jesus is the master teacher. There are people in this room that are aspiring for ministry. Thank God for you. We shared time yesterday with ministers in Northeast North Carolina, probably 100 or so gathered in Greenville. And it was a time of just encouragement, just enriching your life and showing you a picture of the future, talking about where you're going, that kind of thing. And so we listened to a couple of sermons. And I listen to sermons. When I listen to a man, I listen to them real hard. I'm always looking at the semantics of a message and how they fashioned it and all that stuff. And so I was listening to the first one and listening to the second one and kind of piecing together what tools he was using to get that word across. But I love the fact that Jesus is the master teacher. He's the master teacher. You know how Jesus preaches? Once upon a time, okay? You remember that story? Remember how you used to go to your grandparents' house? I grew up on a small street. My grandfather, when he was a young man, bought a tract of land in Hertford, 6 acres big. He paid $600 for it. He gave a portion of it to the sons. And that's where I grew up. I grew up on one of those pieces of land that Granddaddy Zach gave to his sons, Gene and Jack. And I remember running down that street and going to his country store. And I remember going to their house. You know, we hung out together all weekend. I grew up in the family business, and we always hung out together. And I ate his 2-for-a-penny cookies and his hoop cheese and his honey buns and all of these things that brought me to where I am today. Glory to God. Because Granddaddy never said no. Okay, he always let us reach in there. And then I remember on the weekends when the store was closed, Granddaddy's house was right next to it, and we always went to Grandma and Granddaddy's on Sunday afternoon. It's what you did, okay? And I remember hopping up in their lap, and we would say the same thing. Tell me the story. And so Grandmama, she would say, once upon a time, there were 3 bears, Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and Baby Bear. And then we would wait for the culmination of not only that story, but every story. Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod one night sailed off in a wooden shoe. Come on, somebody. We would wait for all of that finish, that story to finish, and then the last line would always be, and they all lived happily ever after. And so Jesus, listen, you preachers, listen up. Don't try to make sermonizing and preaching something new. Jesus is the master preacher. And so Jesus is the one who says, hey, behold, a man has 2 sons. And the youngest one said to his father, hey, Pop, can we kind of act like you already died because I'm wanting my money? And you know the story of what? The prodigal son. Pastor Mike's been going over many of these stories on the Wednesday night broadcast and in person on the parables. And so those stories usually end up with this end that releases a closure to the whole thing, and it's not always, and they all live happily ever after. And so we're here with the master teacher, and he's telling us that the heart of the whole law of God, hear me now, don't miss this, the heart of the whole counsel of God, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, all the way down to the end of the New Testament and Revelation, the end of the whole counsel of God is based on 2 principles. Loving him and loving them. Don't miss this. This is such a simple message. But if you will receive it and make it something that is a part of your daily life and your living, then I promise you, your life will be different. And so here we are with the master teacher first saying to us, listen, love God with all your heart. Love him. Love him. Verse 27, the first part of it, it says this. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. God's looking for the whole heart. And it's amazing to me that the Lord has really worked through the entirety of who we are as people. He's worked through the entirety. First, he says, I want your heart. I love the original word here. I like to study the Bible. I like to break it down. I remember I told you, don't run to a Webster's dictionary. Throw that thing in the trash. You don't need a Webster's dictionary to study the Bible. You'll be in trouble. So what do you look at? Well, you got all kinds of tools in the world today. You can find a lexicon online or www.biblestudytools.com. I've been a faithful participant of that now for probably 25 years. Thank you, Dr. Chuck Swindoll. www.biblestudytools.com. If you look up that word heart, you get your Greek word. It's not an English word. You get your Greek word cardia. Come on, how many of y'all have ever done any cardio? Come on, you ever got on the treadmill? Some of us are looking like we haven't been on a treadmill in a while. How many of you got clothes hanging on it? Praise the Lord. Come on. But that he says, I want you to love me with all your cardia. What does he mean there? It is the organ in the animal and even in the human that is the center of the circulation of all of the blood, and hence it was regarded as the very seat of the physical life. Listen, they say it, the old guys, you say, hey, man, just pray for me, man. I'm having trouble with my ticker, okay, tick, tick, tick. And what do they mean? They mean the cardia. They mean the heart. And the doctor will tell you, listen, what we want you to do is get moving, you know, get some movement in your life and make sure you don't have to run, you don't have to be a jogger, walk, okay? One of the best things you can do, Dr. Oz or any of those other guys will tell you, one of the best things you can do is just walk. Just get your heart flowing, get the blood flowing, get your heart moving. And the blood is a powerful thing. In fact, Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, the life of the flesh, here we go, is where? It's in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Have you ever heard anybody say about their passion? Their passion may be hunting. You know, this past year, look, I'm 60 years old, but I ain't lost a passion for hunting. Zach and I went duck hunting a couple of times there toward the end, and he can tell you, I can still get them. Boom! Okay? I didn't say I got as many as you, okay? But I can still get them. And the proof of it is I've got 30 ducks in my freezer right now waiting to be marinated in Italian dressing, wrapped in bacon, and fired on a charcoal grill. Come on, somebody. Yes, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in that. No. I said me. My food, okay? I got 30 little birds in there, quack quacks, that didn't make it through our spot when we were sitting in the blind, okay? Boom! And he's a good shot, man. He's a good shot. He never brags. You just look at him and he smiles, okay? That old bird just tumbles down and splat, lands on the pond, and Zach just smiles, okay? But hunting, you know, you ever heard anybody say, man, I can't help it, bud. I'm 60 years old, but guess what? I love the duck hunt. Why? Got it in my blood. You ever heard anybody say that? It's in my blood. It's deep rooted within me. I love to duck hunt. I always have. And I think I always will. We had a great time this year duck hunting. And I know some of you like to duck hunt. Some of you like to fish. Some of you like to golf. I felt the Holy Ghost when I said fish over here. Is that right, James? I like to fish. I like to golf. I can't help it, man. It's in my blood. This is the seat of all of your physical life. And guess what? Hear me now. God wants that too. He wants you to love that, but he don't want you to love it more than him. Okay? He wants you to love it, but he don't want you to love it more than him. He says, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your cardia. This is the seat of the physical life. He wants that part of you too. He wants that which makes your blood flow. He wants your heart. The second thing he says is you're to love him with all your what? Your soul. Now your soul, the word in the original language here, I'm doing a little teach-preach today, okay? The word in the original language is psuche. The word in the Greek is psuche, the soul. It is the seat of the feelings, the desires, and the emotions. I say it like this when I'm teaching on the soul. The soul is made up of the basic proponents of personality, if you've ever been to a college, and it's made up of what? The mind, the will, and the emotions, or the drama, okay? The mind, the will, and the drama. The mind, the will, and the emotions. And guess what the Lord wants? He wants that too, okay? Listen, in the Old Testament, what kind of God did he say he was? He's a jealous God. He wants all of you. He says, I want your soul. I want the seat of your feelings. I want the seat of your desires. I want the seat of all of your affections. This is the eternal part of you that will never die. You and I often say, man, I can't help it. I just got it in my soul, okay? This is the seat of your emotions, and God wants that. He wants the foundation of your feelings, your passions. We talked about that a moment ago. Then the third thing is Jesus says, I want you to love me with all of your strength. This is an interesting word in the original language. It's ischus. It means your abilities and your might. I want you to love me with your abilities. This is your ischus. It's a verb, really. It's an action part. What you're willing to put your energy to. What you're willing to put your energy to. The Lord, have you ever heard somebody say this? Man, I just love to hear him teach and preach. He has such a passion. You ever heard it? I just told Andy a while ago, Andy, I love watching you guys, man. When I got up here this morning, I just leaned over. Some of y'all probably often wonder what he says to Pastor Joy when he sits there. And I just stood there and I said, look at Andy. You say, well, I thought you were supposed to be worshiping God. I was. And I was admiring the passion wherewith you worshiped. You weren't singing a single song. Not when I was in here. You might have sung the first one. I don't know. I wasn't in the room. But I noticed that when I came in and I started worshiping God, you were passionate about what you were doing. Slide over here to Matt. And he's just all into like full body worship, just playing the guitar with his what? With his strength, his abilities, his might. In other words, would you rather him be giving that to some bar down the street somewhere where folk are getting drunk and killing one another? No. No. Give it to the Lord, okay? Give it to the Lord. That's why you better be careful when you critical. Well, I don't know why he wears his hair like that. I don't know. That's none of your business, okay? Just thank God that, you know, you look at somebody and say, well, I don't know why he dresses like that. Don't worry about that. Let's look at his what? His heart. That's what God looks on the last time I read the Bible. I wish the pastor would dress up sometime. I will at your funeral. Okay? I will. I'll have a suit on at your funeral. Okay? If you see me in a suit, somebody's in trouble. Okay? But here we go. The Lord says, look, I want your strength. I want your iskus. I want your passions. I want your abilities. I want your might. And then finally, he closes it out like it's not enough of us to give up. He says, I want your what? Your mind. Man, I wonder why he put it last. The longer that I live, I think I understand more the reason why. Because this is where it all begins. Okay? It's a word in the original language, dionia, dionia. It's your thoughts and your mental faculties. It's your thought processes. Because where your mind wanders, hear me, young people, where your mind wanders, your body will eventually go there. And that's why you're told by Paul in the scriptures, that's why you're told that you're to take captive every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, okay? Because if you don't capture the mind, if you don't capture the thought processes, you're going to be in trouble. Let this mind be in you, which is also what? In Christ Jesus. That's the kind of mind you want. You want a godly mind. You don't want a mind that's... That's why, you know, you got to be careful, man. I was just telling Brian over there on the security staff. We were leaning against the wall. I wonder what Pastor and Brian always talk about when he steps over there. We were just talking this morning about, isn't it sad? Remember the conversation? Isn't it sad what we have in our hand? We were talking about the death and of this young man and who knows what happened. And isn't it sad what we have available to us today? You have the ability to do so many crazy things right here with this little gadget. It's a dangerous piece of equipment right here. It's a wonderful thing. Some of you say, man, I thank God I don't write any more checks. I don't buy any more stamps. I do all that too, you know. I get riding down the road sometimes, and I look at that. Oh, your car insurance is due. You know, all I do is look at it and take my thumb and go click, click, like that, and my insurance is paid. I didn't do anything except go boop, boop. Apple Pay. It's that easy. Okay? It's that easy. You get the email, you get the message, and you push the button. And it's over with. Okay? But these things are dangerous because James Dobson said it well years ago. He said the World Wide Web is truly a possible web of destruction for a lot of people. See? So you can get entangled on this gadget. And you can get in all kinds of trouble. And so if you have to be careful, you know, what pops up on your phone. What pops up is a bait, like, and it pops over there before you say, oh, do I look at this? Sometimes Pastor Joy will ask me going down the road, look at this, I got a free so-and-so. I said, don't open that. She said, should I? She asked me one day this week, should I open that? I said, no, don't open that. How do you know, Pastor Wallace, that you shouldn't open it? Because I've opened one before. Okay, what did I tell you? I said, don't open that. You know what I was telling her? I did it and I regret it. You know why? Because I could not hardly stop the inundated contacts and emails. You want this, you want that, you want this discount, we want to give you this. And my box is loaded up. And once in a while, I have to sit down with my phone and open one of those emails and go all the way to the bottom. Help me here. And hit what? Unsubscribe. Because if I hadn't have taken their free sandwich that they were offering me at Chick-fil-A, I wouldn't have got sold out to 100 other companies list that I have to waste time with now and hit unsubscribe. I clean mine up about once every 2 weeks and just hit unsubscribe. Just like I'm doing my friend list on Facebook. I'm throwing a lot of them in the trash because I don't need to hear what they have to say. Okay? You need to do the same thing. If that is offensive, then you don't need to hear what they have to say. If it's nasty, then you, why? Because the Lord wants your what? He wants your mind. So you don't need to see their stuff. Okay? Well, they go to our church. I don't care. It doesn't matter. There's people in the church that I kicked you off the list because the stuff you put up there is not worth watching. Wow, I can't believe he said that. Let me say it again. There's people in the church that I kicked off my friend list. Why? Because what you put up there was not worth looking at. So I kindly hit unfollow. Now everybody's going to be looking at that. Let me look at my stuff, make sure I ain't got nothing up there. That's not as bad as depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Come on, get yourself ready on earth for heaven. All right? Just do clean stuff. Don't make comments that you don't need to make. Don't hit like on people's stuff that's compromising. Why? Because the Lord wants your what? Your mind, okay? He wants every part of you. He wants your heart. He wants your soul. He wants your strength. He wants your mind. Everything that comes from you proceeds from your mind. And even when you repent of sin, the Bible teaches us and tells us biblically that repentance is a change of mind, okay? The teacher of the law asked Jesus, how can we inherit eternal life? He says, give all of your heart, soul, mind, all your strength. He says, this is the greatest commandment. It's a great teaching. It's a classic teaching. This is the greatest commandment. And then in one translation and in one gospel, he says, and the second is likened to it in the King James. Remember that? And what is that second part of it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Because he says, listen, if you love your neighbor as yourself, and if you love the Lord your God with all these faculties, he says, what you've done here is you've hung all, hang on to this, you've hung all of the law and the prophets on that one statement. I say, whoa. I mean, think about it. In other words, love the Lord your God, love them, love him, love them. Four simple words. Love him, love them. Those four words, Jesus said, is made up of everything the law and the prophets said. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Everything in all of those books can be reduced down to a pamphlet. And the pamphlet says, love him, love them. You don't even need a pamphlet, just a little business card. That is powerful. In other words, God puts a whole lot of stock in that. So what does it mean then? We covered love him, that's what he wants. What about love them? Love your neighbors yourself. Notice what the Lord is saying here. You love God, and now you're to love other people. So the expert of the law says to Jesus, you have to help me here. Remember, I don't want to love too much, okay? I don't want to give any more than I'm required to give. So could you help me here by simply defining what it means to be my neighbor? How many houses down do I have to go down the road before I can draw the line and stop loving? Wow. The great story Jesus uses as a once upon a time, there was a man who was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among some thieves. And this great story is really Jesus' attempt to teach us that there are four types of people in the world. Okay, if I was you, I'd write this down. There are four types of people in the world. The first type is there are a bunch of thieves in the world. They're thieves. Verse 30, look at the second part of it. They stripped the man of his clothes, they beat him, they went away, and they leave the man for half dead. The thieves live by this adage. Here it is. What is yours is mine if I can get my hands on it. What belongs to you is mine if I can get it without you knowing it. It's called stealing. How many of you know that there are people in this world that just want from you what they can get from you for themselves? And can I tell you, you'll find some of these folks in your own family. Wow, I got a lot of amens on that one. Amen? You guys aren't the Waltons, are you? There's a lot of people, there's people in your family that they will do what? They will use you. Come on, it's a good time to say something. Amen. And the Bible says what? Thou shalt not steal. I was talking to a person the other day who says, hey, you know, I'm kind of laying low because I owe this person some money. And I just, you know, I don't want to be out there too much because I owe them some money. And I said, well, you have an obligation. Call them up and say, listen, you must understand, you know this, I owe you some money and I'm going to pay you, but just now it's not working out that I can produce that right now. I need you to work with me here. I will give it back to you. That's just a good deal, okay? Stories told of a man who's on a country road. Nobody's out there on that country road. You know, he's just riding. How many of you notice when you're on the country road, the lines don't mean anything? Come on. You're just riding, you know. You're just riding. Kind of like you're riding in Virginia. They don't even have no lines up there. You know, they got a hill in the middle. Come on. And you're riding, you know, and all of a sudden he comes through the country road and he sees the man coming down the road at him that he owes money to. And he just quickly goes, oh, you know, just when he approaches him, he just looks off. And he said he looked in the rearview mirror, skirt! The guy come to a screeching stop, spun that vehicle around, come back and got beside him and said, pull over. And he pulled over and said, look, I know you owe me. You know you owe me. Don't try to turn your head on a country road. Okay? Okay? You ever had people that owed you money? I've got people that have owed me money that guess what happened? They finally died. I'm never going to get it. Okay? I had a guy one time that owed me some money and he said, man, I feel bad about it. I said, look, don't feel bad about it. Just make a plan to correct it. Okay? Then I've had people that owed me money and I said, just forget it. You ever done that? Just forget it because it's been a long time. I had a guy one time that asked me could he borrow my charge account to buy some lumber because he had the ability to make some money if he could just get this lumber. Can I use your account here in Ahoskie and then when I get paid on the job, I'll pay you back? And I honored it. I said, yes, you can. I kept it in the desk drawer of this church for 7 years in my office. And on the anniversary of the seventh year, I called him up on his cell phone. I said, hey, congratulations. He said, what? I said, your debt's been forgiven. He said, what? I said, 7 years ago this week, you used an account here at a lumber place, now where Med-X is, okay? Used to be a building supply store there, right? He used my account, and I said, you hadn't paid me in 7 years. Don't worry about it. It's paid. It was paid a long time ago, but you don't owe me anymore, okay? Listen, there are people in this world that are thieves. And Jesus is relating. You say, well, I'm just lifting off some facts here and seeing what I see in this passage. Four types of people. The first one is there are thieves. And the Bible says don't steal. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, it says this. Anyone who has been stealing, and this is a statement from Paul saying post-Christ. And you come to Christ, listen, steal no longer. But you must do something. What is that? Work. Doing something useful with your own hands, that they may have something to share. Not, listen, don't miss this. Not just so you can get money to work so you can have something, but God's plan for you is to have more than what you need so that you can be a blessing to other people. Second type of person is those priests and Levites. The characters of this story, the first group was thieves. The second one is those preachers and those deacons. Those preachers and those elders. The church leaders, the Levites led the services. They were supported. They were supported by the ministry. Verses 31 and 32, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. So the preacher and the elders walked right by the man who was attacked. They had a meeting to go to, had an arrangement. They had a meeting to go to, and their time was precious. I pray that on the way to Beachwood this afternoon, that me and my staff don't run into an accident, because we really don't want to stop, okay? We want to go to the table, okay? But this is the reality of it. So what the Bible is saying is, if you run across somebody who's in trouble from here to the country club, then stop, okay? See if there's any way that you can help them. The first thing I usually do is, hey, you guys have a cell phone? How many of y'all do that? You guys have somebody to call? I mean, you see the car is on the side of the road. Can I call somebody for you? Oh, no, we got one. Most of the time today, they don't even need you, because they've already accessed somebody. So you in kindness can say, do you need anything? And most of the time, it's not going to take up your time. No, thank you, Pastor. I've already got somebody on the way. Thank you. These priests, these Levites, have an adage that they live by as well. It's this: what is mine, even if it's my time. This is mine, and you can't have it. Okay? There are people in this world and there are people in the church who may not steal from you, but they're not going to go out of their way to bless you either. Let me say that one more time. There are people in this world and people in the church may not go out of their way. They may not steal from you, but they're not going to go out of their way to bless you either. Why? Because people by nature are selfish. They're into themselves. Then there's a third type of people. They're called innkeepers. This innkeeper is mentioned in verse number 35. He's in business. Why is he in business? He's in business for the same people. Everybody's in business. To do what? To make money. He's in business to make money. That's what he's wanting to do. And the adage of the innkeeper is, what is mine is yours if you've got the money to pay for it. Okay? You can have you can have a membership at the gym. It's $20 a month. You can have the rights to the country club. It's so much a year. You can have a night at the Husky Inn. It's $59. Whatever. The innkeeper is, what is mine is yours if you have the money to take care of it. He's not a bad guy. He just don't give his rooms away free. Okay? He's not a bad guy. You can sleep in his bed. You can drink his coffee. You know, as long as you got some jingle in your pocket. Okay? You have to have some money to pay the bill. No money, no bed. No money, no rest. No money, no hot shower. No money, stay out of my swimming pool. Okay? Then there's a fourth type of person. We call him the Good Samaritan. Verse 33 to 35, but a Samaritan, I hate that it has to say this, but a Samaritan, because you know all these other three were in one frame of mind, and then that, but there's this Samaritan. As he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, the Bible says he takes pity on him. He went to him, he bandaged his wounds, he pours on the oil, the wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35, the next day he pulls out 2 denarii and he gives them to the innkeeper. And he says, hey, you take this and take care of this guy. And if it exceeds it, let me know, and I'll take care of it when I come back. Long before the days of visa, come on. He said, I'll take care of it when I come back into town. The Good Samaritan had an adage that he lived by also. Check this out, Christian. What is mine is yours if you have need of it. That is very loose grip on the things of this world. A very loose grip. Now, you know, I've noticed people are funny about their stuff. People are funny about their stuff. There's people that have in their yards, stay off my grass. Okay. In other words, you better keep your goat in your yard, okay? Stay off my grass. Or no trespassing, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I've got a no trespassing sign. His breed is called a Sharpei, okay? you don't want to upset my dog. He's young, but he's already got the idea. He goes berserk when somebody rings the doorbell, okay? He got it down, man. You don't mess with Wallace Phillips or Joy Phillips, because he's going to show you every one of his teeth, and they look like twice the teeth that he's got, okay? He costs a lot more than a fluorescent sign. But you have to understand, we are called to love people. And there's nothing wrong with us taking care of our things. There's nothing wrong with us, you know, managing our possessions. But God doesn't want you to have such a tight hold and grip on everything you have that you're not willing to loosen that grip and share it with somebody else. You heard me tell the story many times, I'm sure, about the guy in the church that I asked him, because you have 7 automobiles, would you give up one? And he said, no. And then I see it 3 weeks later in his yard for sale. You know what he was saying? What's mine is mine, and it's always going to be mine. Okay? It's always going to be mine. I'm not sharing it with anybody. Well, I didn't ask you to go to the moon. I just asked you to give up one of your 7 cars. Okay? Because you and your wife, the best you can do is drive 2 of them. There's 5 left. Okay? But he wouldn't do it. How many of you have ever given away a car? I have. Anybody ever given away a car? God bless you. God bless you. Giving away a car. Amen? Love him, love them. And after the man who fell among the thieves was resting comfortably in his hotel room, he recovered in just a few days, the story goes. He drank the coffee. He ordered the room service. He even took a dip in the pool because he had rights to it. Why? Because somebody else was blessing him. Somebody say, love them. Love them. Somebody else was blessing him. And you know what the bottom line in all this is in the story? And they all lived, help me here, happily ever after. Give the Lord praise today, would you? Come on, worship team. They all lived happily ever after. I don't know about you, but man, I love that story. I love that story. I love the truth of it, because really it's about, and listen, this is what God wants from us. He wants us to love him. This is a simple call from the Father. I want you to love me. And listen, that's really the hard part, because he wants to clean out everything about you, your heart, your mind, your soul, your passions, okay? Can people look at your social media and discover what your passion is? Can they? Can they look on there and see what your passion is? Are you stuck in some place that's questionable? Wonder what they're doing there. Or are you taking pictures of, you know, this beautiful, I see people, hey, we're grilling on the grill, you know. That's wonderful. That's wonderful there. Look at them eating in the yard. People say to me, at last go, hey, man, you sure have been traveling a lot. Yeah, I must have been putting stuff on social media. Been traveling, been going to meetings. But listen, I'm not going to go to a meeting and not seize opportunities to share, connect, have fellowship. I love fellowship with you. Amen. Love fellowship with Pastor Joy. She's a good gal. You know what she told me on the way to work. She told me on the way to church today. She said she drank the last sip of her coffee. And she said, know what? Have you ever thought about let's just switch this up a bit. And why don't you start letting me make the coffee every morning? Then she said, nah, let's keep it the way it is. Okay. Okay. She said, no, let's get. So what does that tell you? Who makes the coffee in the morning? I do. Okay. Why do you? Because I'm a morning person. She's not. Okay. She needs a little longer just to, you know. So I try to sneak out of the bed, you know, just sometimes I'll stump my toe on something because she's, I can tell she's resting. Sometimes I'll make a little bit of noise and I'll say, oops. Because she's not a morning person. Okay. She needs really, I get up early. If I get up at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock or something like that, don't bother her, man, until 7, okay? Then it's okay to say, good morning, okay? Because she needs more of the morning than I do. I've heard her tell somebody yesterday in a minister's meeting. She said, man, when this cat opens his eyes in the morning, he's worshiping God and springing up on his feet and singing and everything. Then you, everybody's different. But everybody, say everybody, everybody is called to love him. Oh, God, he's a jealous God. He wants your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And then he wants you to love them, okay? Love him, love them. He wants you to love people. He wants you to love people. You know, that doesn't mean, you say, well, you know, I don't really want to do this, but the pastor said we need to love. So I tell him, Brian, this morning, we were talking about people and young people. I said, somebody rang me up early this morning and asked me for something. And I said, no, no. Pastor, can you let me have? No, no. Can't do that. Why not? Because I can't do that. I'm just, don't ask me about this because I'm not going to do it. Okay. I love you, man, but I'm not doing that. Okay? It doesn't mean that you roll the carpet out. Well, pastor said we're supposed to love people, so I guess I need to buy their lunch. No, no. You don't let me tell you what to do. You let the Holy Spirit tell you what to do. I'm talking about God's principles. God also doesn't want you tossing pearls where? Before swine. He doesn't want you wasting your resources. He doesn't. He wants you to be smart at what you do. Your motivation is love. Amen. It's love. Loving him, loving them. Loving him, loving them. Lord, help us today. Help us to take this simple truth and apply it to our lives. And get the best out of your teaching today. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to change the atmosphere. Help us to change the society. Help us to change the world in which we live in by being someone who loves you and loves others. Loving him, loving them. Now, if there are needs present here, same thing. If you're online, please comment below. Please pray for my heart. Please pray for my mom. Comment. We'll pray. I promise you. We'll get back in touch with you. If you're online, you have petitions. Put them in there right now. If you're here in this room, you have petitions. Come. Come. Come and stand at this altar right now. Someone will pray with you. And maybe you just want to get in his presence for a moment. You're free to do that. If you're not comfortable with that, that's okay. It's quite all right. It's quite all right. We just love the fact that you're here. Amen. We just love that. Don't you feel better when you come together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Don't you feel better about your week? Come on. Give the Lord praise. Stand together, would you? Ministers, would you step out of your seat and just make yourself available should someone want prayer? Praise God. Come on, prayer team, if somebody needs to pray. And you feel free to come. If that's what you need to do today. Some of you just say, well, I just feel like I just need to make a connection. I don't have anything specific. I just want somebody to pray with me. They'll do that, I promise you. They'll do that. Hallelujah. God bless you. Sing it, guys.
Where the word of God begins.
And what a wonderful sermon that Pastor shared with us today. Even though he says it's simple, it is simple. But when we begin to put that into our lives, when we allow God to change it, that's when the strategy comes, the challenges come. So, yes, love him, love them. I often think of Dr. Mark Muirhead, who was such an influence in our teenagers' lives for many years and still is for many. He used to say, when we come to God and we pray and we're, you know, love him, love God. We come to God, a lot of times there's people that say, God, give me. And then there's people that say, God, you're all mine. But then there's people that say, God, you're mine and I'm giving to others. I'm loving others. I'm giving to others. I'm allowing you to flow through me so that I can minister to other people. That's what we want today. We want to love the Lord. We want to receive what he has for us. But we don't want to hold on to it. We want to release it to other people, to draw other people to who God has them to be. We don't want to hold on to it. We don't want to be a child that just says, gimme, gimme, gimme. We want to release that. We want to say, Lord, I love you. We want to receive all that he has for us, but we also want to pass that on to other people. Let's do that this week. Let's do that this week. And you know what? Sometimes it's not about things. It's not about buying something. It's not about paying for something for somebody. Sometimes they need to do that themselves. But it's about sharing. It's about caring enough to spend time, caring enough to speak into their lives, caring enough to say, let me pray with you. I can't fix it, but I know who can. Or God might place within you a scripture to say, you know what? Go home and read. Yes. Lord, we thank you for this message. We receive it into our spirits. And Lord, not only do we receive it, but we plan on using it. Thank you, Father, that you are our Lord, our Savior. You've changed our lives. You are changing us to be more like you. Father, as we do that, doesn't make us perfect, but it allows us, Lord, to allow you to flow through us so that we can reach others. Allow us, Lord, to love on others. To walk through each day looking for opportunities that we can share you, that we can reach out to those that are hurt. Lord, they may not be laying in the dirt. They may not be laying sprawled out, robbed, beaten, bleeding. But Lord, their emotions, their fears, their needs are evident. Lord, open our eyes to see these things. Give us discernment. And Lord, allow us, Lord, to be your hands extended. We thank you, Father, for changing us that we can reach others for you. Go with us. Protect us, Lord, this week. Go with us. Give us strength and boldness to reach others. And Lord, we thank you that you are ours. And we get to share you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing behind the scenes that so many times we forget. We know you are working. We thank you, Lord, for healing that family that is going through loss, for allowing those emotions to flow, for allowing the grief process to work through their lives, to bring wholeness. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a miracle. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've brought that child through and what you're going to do through her. Continue, Father, the healing process in hopes of bringing her home soon. Father, for those that have health issues and are not able to join us right now, Father, we ask, Lord, that you encourage them and uplift them, that you allow them to feel your presence as they listen to our services, as they read your word, as they call others and say, I just need contact with somebody. Lord, take away depression and bring strength, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you.